God, we thank you so much for this place, this time tonight, to be able to get together and to worship you in song, to just boast that you're glorious, God, to ask you to set our hearts on fire. Lord, all the things that we sung about in these songs, Lord, they are truly our prayer, our earnest desire tonight. And Lord, now as we endeavor into a time of Bible study, we ask that your hand would be all over it. God, this is your word. This is not Nick Crespo coming up with some cool type of message, but this is your word, God, for your people, for this season. Truly, Christmas is all about you. And so we pray that tonight, as we study your word, that more than ever, possibly tonight, God, we would clearly see you. That not only see you visually, but we'd experience, we'd be able to touch you tonight, Lord, to have an encounter with you in your word. As we read of you, Jesus, coming to the earth, God incarnate, Lord, may our hearts be overwhelmed within us. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to the earth, for being born of a man and a woman. What an incredible thought. So we just thank you for that. Bless this time in your name. Amen. Well, I grew up in a family that has very unique Christmas traditions. Maybe you did too. One of my favorite traditions growing up in the Crespo home was that every single year, okay, we had five kids, my parents would give us money to go buy them gifts. It's a pretty cool tradition. So every year, about a week before Christmas, we'd all go to the mall, and mom and dad would hand us $20, sometimes $40, and we'd go buy each other gifts and even buy our parents gifts. So we're buying presents for them with their own money. At the time, I didn't think that was anything special, but now I kind of wish it was still that way. You know, I wish I could call mom and be like, hey guys, you got some money? I'll buy you a Christmas present. We had some even more unique traditions. One being that my parents were just radical Jesus freaks, and they just loved the Lord. And so Christmas was all about Jesus. And every year they'd make a humongous, like 30-foot banner that would hang outside of our house that said, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And so anyone walking by was like, those guys love Jesus. They know what Christmas is all about. That was my family. We even had the tradition of yearly baking baby Jesus a cake. Okay? And so it's his birthday. He's like a couple thousand years old now, you know, and lots of candles, but we'd bring that cake after opening the presents and all that deal, and we would sing happy birthday to Jesus. It was cool. Now you have probably common traditions. Everyone wakes up early and they run down to the tree. I mean, it's time to open presents, right? Well, in my family, we woke up, we ran down to the tree, we waited for mom and dad to come down. Dad would come down with his wide margin King James Bible and give us a Bible study. And so for a good hour, we'd have a Bible study before opening presents under the tree. Now, that's cool. I mean, that takes like a godly man to say, kids, listen, presents second, Jesus first. And then inevitably, we would open our presents, we'd rip open presents, we'd be, you know, building our presents, putting everything together, having fun, and then we'd have dinner. I'm sure many of you do that. And then we would fall asleep, you know, it's just everyone needs a good Christmas nap, wake back up, eat some more, and then over the past years with my family, play Halo till 3 in the morning. That's a typical Christmas for my family, okay? Well, now moving to New Mexico, being away from my immediate family, now I'm here with Shayna's family, I'm discovering all kinds of new traditions. And everyone has their own unique type of traditions, ways that they celebrate and observe this Christmas holiday. Maybe in your family, you guys go to the movies after dinner. You know, movie theaters open, everyone goes out to the movie. Or maybe at home you're watching It's a Wonderful Life, you're watching The Christmas Story and all the famous classic movies, and that's part of your Christmas tradition. Maybe you're singing songs. Maybe you go on vacation, right? And on Christmas, you're like in Hawaii. You're surfing, man. You're living the life. It's Christmas, everyone back home is freezing cold, complaining, and you're like surfing in surf trunks, you're loving life, drinking pina coladas. And as fun as all of the traditions, that if we ask each and every one of you tonight how it is that you guys celebrate Christmas, as cool, as fun as all of those would be, tonight we're going to look at, in my opinion, the ultimate manner in which we can celebrate Christmas. It's the ultimate Christmas celebration. And it's recorded for us in Scripture. It's refreshing. It's so special the way that the first Christmas went down, the way that the first participants of that Christmas commemorated and celebrated that momentous event. There's no eggnog, okay? There's no Christmas tree. There's no presents. There's no, you know, Elvis in the background singing Christmas carols. There's no snow. There's no mistletoe. But in fact, when we look at the Christmas story, all of the trappings that we're into today, and they're cool. I'm not here to tell you to go burn your Christmas tree or anything like that, okay? And they're all cool and fun. But if that's all we do, and we don't look to God's word and see how vague, how God intended it to be, man, we wouldn't get the fullness of what God intended Christmas to look like, how it is that we can commemorate and celebrate this event. And so tonight we're going to look to the shepherds. There are common characters in this Christmas story. And we're going to look at these individuals, these men with their sheep and the way they celebrated when they heard news that Jesus had been born. And let's set the stage for that. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. It tells us, and she, that is Mary, Jesus' mother, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And immediately we're given the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Very simple. You know the story. Augustus Caesar had made a proclamation, a decree that all people had to come and participate in the census. He was going to be taxing the people. And so Bethlehem itself is just mayhem. There's no room in the inn. And here come Mary and Joseph, no room in the inn, and they're placed into this stable. And there Jesus is born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and placed in a manger. So it's Christmas Day. Jesus Christ has arrived. And look at verse 8. We're introduced to now our characters. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day," that is Christmas Day, "in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And so here's the stage. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem, and it's the same day at night now that the shepherds are keeping watch over their flock, and an angel appears to them. There's an angel of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that there's God's glory is shining around the angel. And the angel has three messages, basically, for the shepherds. He says, first, don't be afraid. And I can only fathom, I'm out there hanging out with my sheep, and an angel and God's glory appears. They're terrified, right? And as they're terrified, freaking out, they're frightened, the angel says, don't be afraid. I have, first part of the message, great news. I have come to bring great news that will be of great joy to you. There's great news coming. I'm not here to bring terror, judgment. I have good news of great joy. And he goes on to the second part of the message. The second part is what is going to be joyful, is that Christ is born today. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. He says, the city of David. And he has come to save. And then the third part of the message was directions. It was an invitation. He says, you will find this baby boy, this Jesus, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody once said that the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. That is what the angel is pronouncing to the shepherds. Something history-making is taking place. The Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come. And he's here in the city. And he's come and he's lying in a manger. And this is to be great news to all Jewish people specifically. And then he offers an invitation. And this is where, to me, it gets so special. He says, you will find him. you will find this Messiah, this God having come to earth, laying in a manger. And the idea is, you'll find him. You're going to go. You're going to go pursue and find the Savior. You're going to go to this place. You're going to experience and see this scene. And then finally we read there, as that's all taking place, the pronouncement from the angel, all of a sudden, armies is what literally hosts means in the Greek. There's armies of angels in the sky, and they begin to cry out and sing, glory to God in the highest. And so put yourself there. It's Christmas Day. It's the first Noel. It's the first birthday of Jesus. He's come. Shepherds, you're there keeping watch over your flock. And an angel in all of God's glory says, listen, you shepherds, today in the city has been born the Messiah. And you're going to go find him. You're going to find him in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so the question in my heart as I read this and reread this week, what are these shepherds going to do? Are they going to bust out in song? You know, the first... I mean, are they going to start copying the angel song, glory to God in the highest? Are they going to start having a theological debate? Well, you know, that's interesting. I remember all the prophecies about the Messiah coming, and let's talk about that for a while. Are they going to go, like, cut down some tree there in, you know, outside of Bethlehem, and all of a sudden, like, wrap up, like, sheep-type presents for each other? What's going to happen? How are they going to celebrate? How are they going to commemorate? How are they going to observe this incredible day in history that the Messiah has come? And tonight we're going to look at three responses that they had that to me shape and form the ultimate Christmas celebration. It's verse 15. Here's the response. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The first response, they pursued Jesus. They were given this incredible revelation of the Messiah having come, and their response, we're told there in verse 15, they began to say to each other. And in the Greek, it's in the imperfect tense. It's the idea they kept talking. They're stoked. They just heard news that the Messiah is here. And so you can picture all the shepherds. Did you see that? That was incredible. We have just been told the Messiah is here. They can't shut up about it. They're very excited. But it goes further. They're not just excited. They're not just talking. They say, let us now go and make haste and see this Jesus. And that to me is so powerful. It's so astounding. It's Christmas Day. The shepherds have been invited to come. And they say, let's go. They accept the invitation. They're very excited. They're going to pursue now and go see Christ. It's like the morning of Christmas. You can probably remember as a kid, I hope you know you don't do this anymore, but it's Christmas morning. It's like the earliest you get up all year, right? You're up at like 4:10 in the morning, and you're wide awake. You're like 12, and you're sitting around the Christmas tree, and you're like fighting sleep, and you get up, and you're shaking all the Christmas presents. You're so thrilled because you know some of those are for you. And you know there's presents and good things awaiting. You are recalling your list of 700 things that you gave to your parents. And you're hoping that just three of them are there, you know? And hopefully the ones at the top of the list. And you can't wait to get your present. You're very thrilled. You're excited because you know the presents are for you. And that's exactly what they're doing. But it's not a present. It's not a box. There's no wrapping. There's no ribbons. They want to go see Jesus. See, they said... I love that back there in verse 15. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Here's the idea. It's not enough to just know. It's not enough for us just to have been told that Jesus is here. It's not enough for us just to maybe come up with some song to rejoice. It's not enough for us just to have heard the word from the angel, to have been invited. But I must go and see Jesus. This is something I want to experience personal. I don't want just a mental knowledge, a know-how. I don't want to go around telling people, well, I saw an angel. It was pretty cool. Yeah, they said Jesus is here. It's pretty sweet. No, we want to go see him. We've been told about him. but we must see him. It must become personal. They would stop at nothing less than to see Jesus and behold him themselves. And they saw it. They pursued. They had accepted the invitation. And I don't know how many of you have ever had a Christmas where you knew the present under the tree. You already knew what it was. That happens a lot in my family these days. My wife and I are horrible secret keepers. So it's like, hey, would your mom get me? And I hope they don't watch this because then they already know that I already know what I'm getting for this Christmas. But, you know, we have like this bartering game that we play with each other. You know, like, I'll tell you what you're getting for Christmas if you tell me. Yeah, any of you guys do that? Yeah, okay. Maybe it's just Shane and I. But we do that, okay? So, and every year, you know, you're there's this problem. You know it's under the tree. You're opening the present. And all you're thinking about is, how do I let them know that I don't know, even though I really know? How do I do that? All of a sudden, you're like a Broadway actor. You have to pull this incredible impossibility off. Wow, that's awesome. And you don't want to overplay it because then it's like it's fake. You know, it's like, okay, I don't really do that. So you don't want to underplay it like, oh, cool. I mean, it's just like impossible. Like, how do I lie? It's basically what we're getting down to, right? It's like, how do I lie and act like I really don't know what's here? And there's that idea of, wow, how do I pull this off? How do I act like I don't really know it's here, but you really do? Now, imagine if you really did know it was there and you knew it was the best present you could possibly get and you didn't open it. And that's where you put yourself in the shepherd's shoes. And they've been invited. They know what the present is that awaits them. It's the Messiah. And they don't just stop short of saying, I know it's there. I know that great gift. That's good enough just to know. I want to go see it. I want to experience it for myself. And I want to know, what would it have been like to be a shepherd? Such a humble occupation. And have been told, the only recorded celebration of Christmas is with these shepherds in all of the Bible. We have the kings that will come later, and there's things that happen outside of, but the actual day, it's the shepherds. They're welcome. And as they come, and there he is. What would that have been like to behold him? It's the Messiah. Would you fall on your face and just weep? Would you jump for joy? Would you want to touch those little hands? I mean, have you ever seen a newborn baby? Like the day he was born? I mean, it's like the most precious thing in the world. You almost, it's just like, wow, that's amazing. But it was the Messiah. And there's the wonder. And all of that to say, listen, Christmas, for us this year, what's the ultimate way we could celebrate? What is the best gift, best present we could experience this holiday season? Is it a new iPod or a MacBook? Is it a new car? Is it a new home? All of these things. Or is it just Jesus? Could it be that we today can come and behold him? And I answer that question for you. Yes, you and I have been given the same invitation. You and I have been invited to come and to behold and to pursue and to experience a living God. Jesus isn't dead. And Scripture is replete with opportunities for us to come. We don't have to just sing about Christmas, guys. We don't just like walk away as good Christians and say, well, I sung every single song between church and my CD player or whatever. I mean, I'm covered. It was a great Christmas. We don't have to just theologically have messages and talk about Christmas. But you and I are invited to come and touch him, to actually behold him. You hear a message and you hear it's about Christ and the season's about Christ. But the shepherds lived it. They said, I got to see Jesus. I want to go be with my Savior. I want to go behold him. I want to touch him. I want to draw near. Scripture says in Psalm chapter 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. In Hebrews, later on, it tells us that we can come boldly to God, to his throne, and receive mercy. Christ intends for you, Christian, to not stand outside of the barn, but that you would enter in and that you would behold your Savior this Christmas. That's the opportunity that God has given us. I don't know if you guys are kind of up on the news in this whole rocket ship trip thing, but they're actually selling tickets where you can go in a rocket ship and go into outer space. And they're selling for like $250,000. I guess they're doing that this year, 2008. And so like super rich, loaded people are buying tickets to space. I mean, how cool, right? I mean, you're going to get to go in a rocket ship and experience the like skin stretching thing and kind of see the world and be like, that's cool. That's the world right there. And you spent $250 to do it. Well, as I'm thinking of all that and how cool that would be and wow, to get out of this world and just see the world from a different view. Man, God offers to us for free to come to the creator of the universe. And we can come and behold him. It's free. It's the greatest opportunity that a man could ever have. And God says, just come. He's not making a list and checking it twice to see if you've been naughty or nice this Christmas. Well, you've been bad. Sorry, door's closed. You don't get to see baby Jesus in the manger, right? That's not what's going on. God's just saying to all of us, hey, this Christmas, will you come? Will you come hang out with me? I love you. I died for you. Not just sing songs. Not just go to church. Just with me and you in your room and just spend time. Let's just hang out. I'm here. Come and behold him. And it might be that this Christmas, you have to push through all of the other things. You might have to be oh so intentional to say all of this other stuff is great, but push it all to the side because I want the treasure. I want Jesus and him alone. And it's like growing up, I don't know if you guys know what Chuck E. Cheese is. I've only lived here 3 years, and I don't think there's one here, but maybe there was one here. Chuck E. Cheese, cool place until you're like 10. And they have this cool thing called the pool of balls, right? You know what I'm talking about, the little color balls? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, any of you? Okay, great, that's awesome. You guys, anyone like the ball still? No, but, oh gosh, that's horrible. Okay, so you get the Chuck E. Cheese, and I don't know how it was in Albuquerque, okay, but where I grew up in New York, everyone knew that the balls, at the bottom, there were tokens to be found. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you didn't go on the balls, and the balls are cool, okay? Just kind of a little sweaty for me sometimes, but the balls are cool, and at the bottom, you know they're just like a world of treasure. And as a kid, it's like, oh, there's treasure to be had. But to get to it, I remember almost like dying a couple times to get a token, right? Like, so I go play the Simpsons game. Like, I won this in the pool of balls, you know? And you would just dig and dig, and you can't see anything, and you get the treasure. And maybe that's what Christmas has to be. You know what? It had to be for me, even this week, studying all this. I just got to push it all aside. I say, God, you're all I want. I already had a list of Christmas gifts I needed. And, honey, what are they getting me for Christmas? You know, what are you getting me for Christmas? I've been dropping hints. I just wanted to see if you're getting them. But ultimately, no, I just really want Jesus. And you can have the things of this world. It's just him. I don't know if you guys listen to Sufjan Stevens, but he has a song on his new Christmas album called Get Behind Me, Santa. I love that. And so it might be this year that you have to just have everything else get behind you so that you can just, you and Jesus. Secondly, not only did they pursue Jesus, this is so amazing to me. They pursued him. They made haste. They said, we must go see him. And they did. They found him, of course, like the angel said, lying in a manger. In verse 17, when they had seen him, they now come, they've arrived, they had pursued him, they saw him. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they go from a pursuit and discovering and finding Jesus. They're celebrating, he's here, the Messiah, to now they're proclaiming. Now they're proclaiming. It says that they made widely known the things that they had seen and heard. And what that word, made widely known, in the Greek, it's one word. It's three in our English Bible. It's one word, and it means to proclaim thoroughly. The idea is their lives now were obsessed with telling every single person they encountered that, hey, we saw the Messiah. He is here. God has come to earth. They're stoked. They're so thrilled that God would come, that they had experienced it, that they couldn't now keep and contain it within themselves. I mean, if these guys were bloggers, that was like the whole deal all day. They're on MySpace, like bulletin, like, dude, the Messiah, I saw him today. I mean, they were thrilled. It was the highlight. This was the coming of the Messiah, and they got to experience it. And all of us on Christmas, I still even do this, okay? You know, you get your Christmas present. If you got what you're super stoked on and what you really wanted, the first thing you do, as soon as you get back to your normal life, where you're not just you and your family, like whether it's your work and going back to school or whatever it might be, you're really thrilled. And just seeing your friends, it's like the first topic of conversation is what you got. But especially if it's something you really liked, okay? Like if you got, like I got last year a new snowboard and bindings, okay? And so like everyone that ever has met me knew within like a day. Because I was thrilled. This is a cool present. And I just wanted everyone to know. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't ashamed. It wasn't like I wanted to be cooler. It was just like, this is just awesome. And I want you to know how awesome my Christmas was because I got the gift that I desired. And so naturally there's this excitement. Wow, and for some of you, it might be like a new purse or it might be like perfume for the, well, some of you like ladies, it might be the purse. And I know I've seen the Seinfeld episode. There are man purses. That's cool. Ouch, that was weird. Whatever it is, you're just excited because you got this present. You're just like, thank you, God. Thank you. And that's what they're doing. In light of Christmas, in light of Christ coming, and in light of having seen him and stood before him, it was an unbelievable, overwhelming experience. The best present that you could ever expect, especially being a Jew. So they couldn't help but to tell people. They were thrilled about this present. It reminds me of a story of a girl for Christmas. She got the two things she wanted. She wanted perfume and a watch. She got both of them. She got the perfume she wanted. She got the watch she wanted. And her parents invited their pastor over within that week, over for dinner. And she was just completely thrilled. And she said, Mom, can I tell Pastor what I got for Christmas? And she said, no, you know, that's just kind of tacky at the dinner table, especially. Let's just kind of not do that. And so the girl sitting the whole dinner, all she can think about, I just don't want to tell the pastor what I got for Christmas. And so she's looking at her mom, and she's contemplating, should I do this? Should I do this? And as she's thinking, as she's contemplating, she can't help it anymore, and she blots out, and she just says, I got something for Christmas, Pastor. And so if at any point in this dinner you hear a little noise and you smell something, it's me. And so everyone at the table laughs. That came out a little wrong, okay? But she was just excited. She's like, you know, you hear something and then you smell something, it's me. It's my presence. Well, that is the excitement. I mean, it pales in comparison. And I don't want to make light of this, guys, because this is serious business. This is the shepherds responding and celebrating by saying, God, we are overwhelmed. It's the most incredible gift that anyone could ever receive. We are part of it. We've seen the Messiah. It's the groundbreaking day in all of history. All of history led to this moment, and we experienced it. And I can't keep quiet. And it says that they made widely known the things that they had seen and heard. See, for a Jew, give you some history, this time in the Jewish history was a dark time. It was the time just prior under Alexander the Great, if you've studied Greek history and things, that Alexander the Great, they ushered in as they took the world, they ushered in a time known as the Hellenization. And what that was is basically a fusion of all things, of all cultures and religions with the Greeks. And part of that was that the Jews now under control of the Greeks, that the religion, the polytheism of the Greeks was now being pushed and pressured onto the Jews. And they were like, we just love God. We're here to serve God. And so now this thing is happening worldwide, and it's putting pressure on them to conform. In fact, they were ostracized for just loving one God. It was cool if you loved Jehovah, but if you just loved just Jehovah, and then the Romans came in, and then there was emperor worship. And so for the Jewish people to just love God, that was like bizarre. And they were pressured. They were persecuted for it. So much so that just within 100 years of Christ's coming, or a little over 100 years, Antiochus Epiphanes, one of the leaders, he had set up in the temple. It was known as the abomination of desolation, and he had caused that Gentiles could come into the temple. And that was like the worst thought for a Jew, that Gentiles, foreigners, ungodly people could come into this sacred and holy place. And so the Jewish people, the thought of their Messiah who would come and save, who would come and restore, who would come and conquer, and he would cleanse sin, and he would purge. You can fathom for a Jewish shepherd or for anyone, any Jew, the Messiah for thousands of years, hundreds of prophecies, that this character would come and redeem and save them. This was no light thing. And they couldn't keep quiet. They were the first evangelists. They couldn't wait to proclaim Jesus. And so for us this Christmas, guys, let's learn from the shepherds, their response. Let's go tell it on the mountain. It might not be your favorite Christmas song, but let's live that. Let's go tell people about Jesus. As we this season seek to encounter him, to spend time with him, to say, listen, I too I know Jesus. I've met Jesus. He is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. He's the only thing that I desire. And can I tell you about him? Can I tell you that he came for me, that he died for me, that he loves me? And there's so much joy that it just overflows our life. We can't help but to be a witness and a light and tell people that he's come. You guys remember the Christmas story? You remember the dad? He got this crazy gift in the mail. You guys remember this? And it was like in a big old crate. And it was basically a big leg with a lamp, right? And everyone else thought this thing was hideous, but he didn't care. He wanted to put the lamp on full display. And so that every single person walking by would go, you know, they'd see the lamp. They didn't care for it as much as he did, but he loved it. He wanted the world to see it. And that's what Christians, that's what we do. The gift this year, the gift of Christ, we want the world to know. And I'm already thinking, I already know opportunities that I'm going to have this Christmas season to share. And I'd ask you to think, what opportunities, when I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends, when are those opportunities that I already know are going to be there? For me, being a pastor, it's like I'm the token guy to give the prayer, okay, at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And anytime we have a prayer, especially my wife's side of the family, I'm just like the token guy, okay, Nick, something needs to be said here, a prayer. You're the man, okay? Because you're like the pastor and all that stuff, right? And so I'm already excited. I've got like a Bible study prepared for the prayer, you know? I'm like, so I'm thankful this Christmas, and I just want to share Jesus. And that looks like in your life, I don't know. But however you live and however you find yourself this Christmas season, think, how can I share the light of Christ? And I love this. There was a candy maker in Indiana who wanted to make a candy that would be a witness to the world of Christ. And so he made a Christmas candy. And it goes like this. He began with a stick of pure white hard candy. The white symbolized the virgin birth and the sinless nature of Jesus. The hard part, the hardness of the candy symbolized the solid rock, the foundation of the church, and the firmness of the promises of God. The candy maker made the candy in the form of a J to represent the precious name of Jesus who came to earth. Thinking that the candy was somewhat plain, he stained it with red stripes. He used three small stripes to show the stripes of the scourging that Jesus received by which we are healed, and the large red stripe was for the blood shed by Christ on the cross. It's the candy cane. I thought, man, how cool. What a cool way to tell the world that this season's about Jesus. And so be prayerful. God, how can I celebrate like the shepherds in proclaiming you? And then lastly, look at the final point that we'll see tonight and the way that they responded and celebrated the birth of Christ in this Christmas day. It's verse 18. And all of those who heard it marveled at the things which were told by them, the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told him. And that's where we close tonight. The last thing they did was they praised God. It says that they had gone and seen Jesus. They had now proclaimed him. As they're returning back to their fields, they're just glorifying. They're praising God. From the depths of their heart, they're praising the one who had given them the present. They understood and knew that God had sent their salvation. And so they're praising God. They're giving thanks. Glorifying simply means to praise, to extol, to magnify. It's been translated to celebrate. The word praise means to extol, to elevate. And so that's what these shepherds are doing. They're joining in the song that the angels had begun. Glory to God in the highest. Because a Savior has been born this day in Bethlehem. They're proclaiming, thanking God. And it said because two things, what they had heard and what they had seen. Remember what they had heard? They had heard the angel say, today is born a Savior. And what they had seen, they had beheld the baby Jesus. They had beheld the Savior of the world. They had seen hosts and hosts and armies of angels singing aloud. And they began to just proclaim. And they rejoiced. They began to say, thank you, God, for letting us be part of this. Thank you, God, for what I've heard. Thank you for what I have seen. And it translates to us today, Christian, what have you heard concerning Christ? Think of the times that you've encountered and have met with the Lord and you've heard Him speak to you. Think of the countless messages. Think of the Bible that you hold in your hand. This is God's Word, His message to you. And how much more ought we to praise? Not only what we have heard, but what we have seen. We have seen, we have experienced, we have witnessed with our own eyes what Christ can do in a person. What He's done in my life, how He saved me from sin. How He took me and just transformed my life, a selfish guy that was pursuing endless, just nothingness. And God said, I'll save you. I'll love you. And I sent my Son. And what makes it so special about us, even perhaps more special than the shepherds that night, listen. We see Jesus not only in the Christmas scene, but in the crucifixion scene. See, they didn't get that full glimpse. They only knew that He had come, that He would come and that He would save them. But we stand in retrospect. We look back and we say, yeah, but that Jesus, that same little baby that the shepherds worshiped, I can worship today. That same baby Jesus that they told the world, I can tell the world. They praised. But perhaps our praise is special because we have experienced and witnessed the bloodied Jesus who hung on the cross and said, it's finished. And now salvation has been accomplished. And now faith in me accomplishes for you forgiveness and a clean slate. It accomplishes for you a new life. A life where now I pursue after spiritual things, after the things of God. And so today, we stand as Christians, and so much more so than shepherds, we say, God, thank you. I praise you. And so as we're singing Christmas songs, and as you find yourself day to day in your just quiet times this Christmas, I encourage you, just you and God, and just thank Him. Boast, glorify, picture yourself as an angel in heaven, and you're just saying, glory to you, God. For what you have done in my life, you have saved me. You've redeemed me. And so this Christmas season, let's make it shepherd style. Let's live this season like as though we were there that first Christmas. That our passionate desire, our pursuit is Jesus. And that we can't be contained. We want to let the world know of this Jesus. And that we want to praise God. We want to thank Him for what He has done. Somebody once said that the way you spend Christmas is far more important than how much. And that is so true of the Christian. It is so true that it's not how much we spend, but it's what are we doing? What are we really focused on? What is our heart intent? And as we close tonight, I want to leave you with the words of one of my favorite modern Christmas songs. The song is called Welcome to Our World. One of the verses goes like this. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorns. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. And to be able to look in retrospect and see that Jesus, that little heart, those little hands and that little head. And then placing a crown of thorns. And placing that body on a cross. We're left to say, thank you, God. Thank you. And that opens for us the invitation that I can come to God. That's why we've been able to come, because of what Jesus suffered. And on that cross, you'll remember, there were two criminals. And one of them accepted the invitation. One of them said, Lord, remember me when you enter in your kingdom. And the other criminal stood mocking on the cross. Jesus said to the one that believed, that accepted the invitation, today you will be with me in paradise. And so guys, I just want to encourage you that this Christmas would be the best ever. And that you'll get, yeah, all those presents and all of the cool things and all the traditions that your family observes. But most importantly, I pray that God has your heart. And that the thing you so desire is Jesus. And you pursue Him with everything. Lord, we're so thankful that you came to the earth, that you died a brutal death, that you were beaten, you were bloodied for us. And Lord, that truth then ushers us, it beckons us to come and to behold you. As the song goes, come and behold Him, born the King. Lord, may you cause that to be our desire, even tonight. Lord, if we have to, we'd push through whatever else it is that we've made this season about. But that we can come and behold you. That we would proclaim you. And we'll thank you the whole way, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great Christmas. There's cookies and tons of food out there for you and coffee. God bless you guys.